Keep your finger at John chapter 4, and we are reading from verse 46. To 54. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read this scripture, and then we're going to pause for prayer. And then I'm going to ask Sally to come. Today, Sally is sharing with us. Pastor Sally is sharing with us. I want to just do this, just to prepare you. I'm going to read the scripture. I want to pause for prayer. Okay? And I want to just spend a bit of time to pray, then we have the message. All right? Look at John chapter 4. Verse 46 onwards. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Verse 50, go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time in which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This is the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Let's pause for a time of prayer. Lord, align our hearts. Lord, align our hearts. Yes, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, would you align our hearts this morning? That God, you develop and build a people, Lord, who are like Jesus. We pray this morning that as we learn of this, of Jesus, we recognize him. God, my prayer is this, that if Jesus were to be here and if he were to live exactly as how Jesus lived, Lord, I pray and I ask that we will recognize Jesus. So Lord, help us today as we study scripture to know what Jesus did, to know how Jesus did his things. I pray, God, and I ask, Lord, that you will help us to recognize Jesus so that as we recognize Jesus, we will then know when we see him that this is Jesus. We ask this, God. Holy Spirit, we pray, bring that word and drop it into our hearts. Prepare our spirit to receive this word so that, God, again, we will recognize you, Jesus. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Can I have my... Thank you so much. I want to take this opportunity to thank many of you. A lot of you actually send me SMS, write me emails, encourage me, giving me my comments over my preaching the last two rounds. I'm still learning. I'm praying along that God will grow me in this delivering of his word. And you can also pray along with me. Today's passage, John chapter 4, verse 46 to 54. Today's passage that Ref Lake has just read, I'm sure many of you find it familiar. It's not a stranger to us. As a result of the miracle, the official and all those in the home placed their complete faith in Jesus. Amazing, right? In my preparation of today's sermon, I read many speakers' sermon online, you know, to figure out and to just see where the points direct to. And in my preparation, during my preparation, I found that many speakers actually preach from this text were focused on the official and his faith in Jesus Christ. It's so easy that we miss out the compassion of Jesus in this passage. Therefore, this morning we are going to put our focus not on the official, but on Jesus Christ. From the passage, not working. I tried. Okay. From the passage, it's so obvious that Jesus is showing his compassionate heart to the official. As a disciple who wants to follow after him, we are also to show this heart value of compassion. But is it possible to do many things for God but miss out doing it like Jesus? Is it possible for us, for the disciple, to do many things for God but miss out doing it like Jesus? Many years ago when I started to work in Sengkang, I hang around in Sengkang very often, and one of the incidents, I was in Sengkang MRT, this young little girl in the MRT station approached me. She was trying to evangelize to me, not knowing that I'm a Christian. Then, being a typical Christian worker, I asked her a question in return, hoping that she has the right motivation to do what she is doing. Since I used to do this very often, I want to encourage the girl. But to my surprise, she was telling me, oh, if I bring this number of people to church, this number of friends to church, I will be given a discount card. Then I was like, I was wondering what church was that, right? And he said, then I can be leaders and so on. So that is the prerequisite. And of course, later I found out that it was actually from a cult church around. I was like, oh, okay. Now, another example, which I'm also a culprit of, is giving out Christian tract. When I was a youth, my secondary school, I just came to know the Lord through a youth uniform group. My church has this regular activity that we will stand at MRT station, that's called Topayo MRT, and or the bus station interchange. We will hang around there and we give out tracts, Christian tracts. We'll just give and just give and just give. Now, I do that. Okay, I have no problem doing that because it's easy, just give. But during those times, it's not against the law, by the way, many years ago when I was really young. But for me to give out tracts, because I do it because I want to earn a badge. If you understand the uniform group I'm from, a couple of things that if you do regularly, actually you earn a badge. And with number of badge, you actually earn a rank. And that's how you get your lance corporal and so on. No, so I do such thing. I give out tract. And giving out tract is a good thing because people get to read about Jesus Christ and his love. But I'm sure I didn't do it with the same motivation like Jesus. That is why. As a disciple of Christ, it's important for us to see and realize how Jesus responds with a compassionate heart. We need to learn. We need to see how Jesus do it. Let's come and study how our Jesus display his compassionate heart in this incident. Next slide, please. Okay. From verse 46, we read that Jesus, another one, from verse 46, we read that Jesus has gone a full circle with his return to Canaan. That's in verse 46. After Jesus did his first miracle, changing the water into wine, he went around to do ministry with his disciple observing him. Remember, he's asking them, come and see. So he went around doing work, ministering, where the rest of the disciple watching, observing. And the period of close to 18 months, Jesus traveled very far, did a lot of things to show the disciple. Next, please. He changed the water into wine in Canaan. He moved up to Capernaum to take a look at the place where his ministry will be in future. He moved down to Jerusalem. He cleansed the temple. He met Nicodemus there. And then he went to the Judea countryside. He went to Samaria, met the Samaritan woman, and then he returned to Canaan in Galilee. Now, this journey that Jesus took, he cultivated many relationships, and he became a friend of sinners to many. Next. Another one. What is cultivating? We say Jesus cultivated many relationships. What is cultivating? Cultivating is building bridges of friendship with people. This happens, can be happens in minutes, on the street, in the lifts, or it can even over a course of year. In short, cultivating is breaking up the ground, the hard ground of a soul to prepare for the seed of the gospel and happen through a friendship. That is cultivating. And we witness, as you read that scripture, Jesus do that with many people. Break the ground, they get to know him better, friendship builds. Now, despite of Jesus traveling and doing many things that he did with many people, in verse 48, we understand that actually Jesus stopped for the official. Just imagine the map. He went through so much. He do so much. But when he came back to Galilee, when the official approached him, he actually stopped for the official. He didn't turn his back on the official. On the contrary, he gave him his attention. He gave him the attention because he knew this person has a need. Next, Jesus' strategy for identifying the spiritual loss being opening his eye. Beginning by opening his eyes to see the lost people around. Jesus' strategy for identifying the spiritual loss begin with opening his eye to see the lost people around him. Many of us don't stop and give attention to others. We are people in the hurry all the time. Very often, we are hurried to do something, going somewhere, or occupying our times for ourselves. When we notice a situation that needs help, we pretend we never see. Or we convince ourselves that we are too busy, no time to listen. Mess as well, don't start the conversation in case I ask and the story goes on. But Jesus didn't do that. He stopped for the official. If Jesus did not stop, he probably will not notice any need. But he is different. I can imagine if he is my neighbor, if he stays the same block as me, he will likely invite me to his house for a cup of tea or meal once a while. Perhaps he will stop to talk to neighbor when he sees them washing their cars, taking a stroll in the car park, in the park. Or perhaps he will say hi in the lift. Jesus would have adjusted his everyday life so that he can meet the spiritual lost people. After I finished my secondary school, I joined Youth for Christ, continued to be a volunteer. One of the activities my mentor makes me do is not do anything, but to sit along Orchard Road, the Orchard Road, just sit there and watch people. I don't need you to do anything. That's what she say. I just need you to sit here and tell me, after an hour or two, come back and tell me what do you see. It's a waste of time, right? But during my time when I'm a youth, Orchard Road is always full of people walking around because there's not many places to go then. And you really see people because I wasn't asked to do anything but just to look at these people. Their conversation, the people who sweep the floor and all. My mentor intentionally put me at Orchard Road, opening my eyes to see people around. Jesus opened his eyes to see people. He gave attention to the needs. He not only looked at their eyes, looked at them, he actually opened his heart to feel like them. According to our reading, in John chapter 4, this royal official, who is likely a Roman official, probably will be overseeing an area in Galilee, in some capacity, perhaps some ruler in charge. Instead of asking Jesus to come and see him, which he probably could, he did not. He walked 20 miles, which is about 32 kilometers, just to come to Canaan, to where Jesus was. So by the time he actually meet and approach Jesus, Jesus actually moved with compassion when he looks at them. No, I'm sure Jesus do. Perhaps he's pending away. 20 miles, 32 kilometers. He's pending away. Because he's crying. Perhaps his eyes is swollen because he's crying so much for his son. I'm sure Jesus could see the anxiety in him. I'm sure Jesus can imagine the pain of this royal official. This week, I have an incident where one of my close friends met up with us and released a review or tell us a news that was not so good. You know, when he was telling us, he started to cry. You know, this incident, it made me cry. It made me cry not because he cried. It made me cry because the news that he broke just pains our heart. It really pains our heart. When you look at him and he's suffering pain, we went along with him. Three of us is doing it. You know, I'm sure Jesus did the same with this official. The anxiety of this parent. I'm sure a lot of parents here, when your son is sick, and the doctor will tell you, all the doctors will tell you, no cure, no cure. You just let him go. Just another 3 to 6 months. And things like that. I'm sure you just like, all my money, I can't save my son. I'm sure that kind of anxiety that you have, Jesus could understand. Jesus felt it. Jesus at this point understood how this royal official, this father of the sick son, feel. He didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. For the many other portion of the scripture, we read Jesus actually often moved with compassionate heart. He always moved with compassion as he looked at the need of the spiritual lost people. For Matthew, can I have the slide for the Matthew? Yeah. Matthew chapter 9. It reads, when Jesus saw the crowd, he has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew 14:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he has compassion on them. Matthew 20:34, Jesus has compassion on them. I'm sure there are many other scriptures tell you how Jesus feels for people. He opened his heart to understand, to empathize with these people who has a need. I'm sure Jesus will not give a sweeping statement saying, I'll pray for you. And then he stops there. He loves people so much, I'm sure he will give his full capacity to listen with his heart. Next slide. I'm sure Jesus will give his full capacity to listen with his heart and not just his head. Jesus' love is the true love. True love is heartfelt. It can be felt. True love will be able to identify the valid needs of people. Back to that incident we have in office with my friend. You know, when he shared, because of our love for him, for his family, you know, we feel it. We could identify the pain, the anxiety in him. In fact, I learned compassion in a hard way. For some of you who have known me for years, I'm a very hard person. My family upbringing is that we cannot and not allowed to cry, to ask for help, not even to borrow things. That's what my family teach me. Cannot, okay? You find your way out. If you want something, you find your way out to pull through. I grew up not knowing how to cry. I would just suppress, find my way. And when I entered into ministry, I did the same with myself. And also expect others to do likewise. But 10 years ago, about 10 years ago, I have a very big transformation in my life. I met an incident. I don't think I'm going to forget the incident in my life. It was painful. It was hard. But God uses that incident to change me. I learned to cry. I cry like never before. I cry not only for myself. Later on, I learned to cry for people that God has led me to minister to. Sometimes I joke with Reveling. I say, because I hardly cry when I'm young, now is the payback time. You know, sometimes you know somebody just says something, I was like, oh, I say, why like that? I cannot understand. I cannot understand why I'm a lot more emotional, a lot more able to identify, but I know that is the work of God in my life. So, we see how Jesus opened his eyes. We see how Jesus opened his heart. We're going to see how Jesus opened his hand. Next. In this case, John chapter 4, Jesus felt the need of the official, heard the need, understood the need, and very quickly he met the need by healing his son. Jesus replied in verse 48, unless you people see sign and wonder, Jesus told him, you will never believe. In fact, God knows what are the things that he needs to do to help this official believe. Jesus knew that sign and wonder to the official on that day was important. So these signs and wonder displays Jesus' compassionate heart. It's through the sign and wonders Jesus display his compassionate heart. Today we actually hear a lot of testimony on how healing takes place, what are some of the signs and wonders that is happening. We some of us even witness miracle. Now these are means that God today still use to minister to people so that people come to know him. But I was sharing with Reflect. I said, you know, every day our life is a sign and wonders from God. Each of our life, my life, is a sign and wonders from God. It's a miracle. It's something that God could use. Of course, this is not the only thing God could use to help another one to believe in him, but we are. True love is an action word. Next slide, please. True love is an action word. Jesus did not say, I love him, and walk away. After he understood how the official felt, out of compassion for this man, he responded. He healed his son. In Matthew 14, the earlier passage that I talk about, when Jesus landed, saw a large crowd, he has compassion on them and healed the sick. In Matthew 23:4, Jesus has compassion on them and touched their eye. Touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and follow him. Jesus didn't stop seeing, feeling. He responded. He opened his hand to share. I remember this slogan many years ago, Sengkang Methodist was still very active in the neighborhood school in Sengkang. We were serving in Sengkang. There's this slogan that we always use, love with skin on. Love with skin on. To love with skin on could mean one have to sacrifice his herself or himself. Jesus could have chosen to rest after such a long journey by foot. In the past, there's no car. And a lot of time, Jesus walked. It's walkable. Of course, it's walkable because I walk. But it's tough. After such a long journey, Jesus perhaps can choose to rest. Jesus would have chosen to do something else he liked, since he has really done so much from Canaan to Capernaum and all, Judea and Samaria. He did so much. He perhaps can choose not to. But Jesus did not. He responded to this man. One of the reasons for me to say yes to Reverend Lake to serve in Sengkang Methodist when he invited me was because God showed me how the leaders opened their hands to share with the community. I was serving in a parachurch organization. And usually we don't really have very good impression of churches. We always think that church is so inward-looking. They only think about themselves. No evangelism, no follow-up and all. But this church that God has brought me to know was different. The leaders was sharing. And by the way, the leaders at point of time wasn't young people. They were working adults. But they are so willing. They are so willing to bless the community by cleaning food tray in Riverview Plaza. They took over the uncle auntie's job. They buy them coffee. They sit. And the leaders do it. The whole half a day. They actually did it. Another incident that I remember, another event that I remember was a leadership camp. Leaders, adult, busy with work, took leave, went to the school and camped with these students. And you know, if you camp in the students in school, you sleep on the floor. You sleep in the we call it a hall. And you know, my leaders did that. Of course, you know, our back ache and all, but they are so willing. And it was because of these leaders, I see Sengkang differently. Another incident was some events that we have to go Suntec. The student was there to support the event. Our leaders sitting in the middle on, you know, in the Suntec open space on the floor, cheering with the students. This is more than giving money. This is more than just doing one-off thing. They give their time. They give themselves. And Jesus did the same. People are not a project. In John 3:16, next slide, please. In John 3:16, we read that God so loved the world. One more. For God so loved the world. One more slide, please. For God so loved us. The love of God compelled Jesus to want to show love to others. Showing love, building relationship with people, was one of the things Jesus did very, very often in his early parts of ministry. Of course, when he was doing that, he does not compromise his relationship with God the Father. Jesus cultivate, Jesus pour his compassion intentionally with people God has placed in his life. There wasn't a need to search. They were there along his path, along his daily life for him to touch, for him to open his heart to. As we move around in our daily journey, as we go about in our life, God places people in our path for us. Let's pause and think. When was the time Jesus actually saw you, give you his attention, respond to your need? I'm sure if Jesus is in our midst, he would have been a very popular figure among his family member, among in his neighborhood, his workplace, his church, his community. Perhaps he would be given a title like the kindest, most helpful, and such things. Because he was different. He would have ministered to us because we were along his pathway. Like I mentioned earlier on, of my family upbringing. Today, I need to learn to be very sensitive. I need to sense around at home. Again, we don't talk. We don't talk about how we feel. We don't talk about how it's a job. We usually don't talk about things like that. You know, like, you know, we just go home and then we just go into our room and that's it. A couple of times when I went home after work, I sensed that I need to ask. So after I asked, oh, how's your day? Oh, how's your school? My family member actually start pouring out. Pouring out what happens in school, happened in work. It's not our culture to talk like that, but somehow and it's so timely when God, you know, prompted me to ask. I believe this is something that God is also learning and helping me to see and sense what He wants me to do. Compassion not only can be displayed in our family, it can be also shown in our neighborhood and workplace. I work till quite late sometime, right? So I go home. And if my neighbor were to see me still with my work bag, and they were like, wow, you work till very late, huh? Then we can start talking. Somehow they are the one that notice me. Sometimes I'm just too tired to look at anybody, but my neighbor will. This is how conversation, this is how they sense how tired I am, but still want to strike a conversation with me. Another incident recently in my mother's workplace, her colleague actually saw her limping away, limping around as she walked. The staff, you know, they don't ignore. They showed concern. They even recommend doctor, hey, this is a good doctor. I think you should go and see it, you know. Go. Just leave your job early. Just go. You need to see a doctor. And even some of them will call my house in the middle of in late evening to find out how is her visit to the clinic. Now, these are ways how people empathize. They could feel how my mom feel, the pain. And they actually took the step, allowing her to go and see doctor, recommending doctor to her, even giving her a call to find out things. What about us in church? Every week we are here. Every week, we have many people that are here with many different conditions. Are we sensitive to the need of the people here? Today, from John chapter 4, we see how Jesus loved and met the needs of the people. Despite of his busyness, he met the need of Nicodemus, the top theologian of Israel, with the love of God. Despite of his busyness, he met the need of the Samaritan woman, who was an outcast, with the love of God. He met the need of the helpless of Israel, who was also a father, with the love of God. Despite of Jesus' busyness, did Jesus stop and give you attention? Did Jesus feel your heart, met your need, like what he did with these people he met? Will you be sensitive? Will you begin to be sensitive to the deep compassion of Jesus as you read the Bible? God has demonstrated so much of himself to us. Can we sense it? Can we sense the lostness of the people? Can we sense the hopelessness of these people? Can we sense it? Can we invite the worship team?